Peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather on this Good Friday to remember the death of our Savior Jesus Christ. We worship the God who loved humanity so much that He sent Jesus to earth to live with humanity in all its messiness, to demonstrate love and to die for human sins. We draw our title this morning, the full extent of His love, from the account of the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, as we focus on the full extent of God's love for us. In this morning's service, we will hear the Scripture read dramatically in the story of the death of Jesus as told by John in his Gospel, and we will sing songs that reflect on the death of Jesus. We will share in communion at the point in the readings where Jesus shares His Last Supper with the disciples. So in anticipation of that, we pray. Most gracious and loving God, we come to You in prayer on this day with gratitude. You have loved us deeply. You love us still, to the fullest extent possible. By Your Spirit, prepare our hearts to hear the story of Your love worked out in the death of Jesus. Amen. So our readers are going to begin coming up on stage, and you will hear the story read dramatically.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end.
The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off His outer robe, and tied a towel around Himself.
Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that He had tied around Him.
Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom He was speaking. One of His disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Him.
Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom He was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked Him, "Lord, who is it?"
Jesus answered, "It is the one whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do."
So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night.
That's my fault, evidently. Accidental, I assure you. All right, let's start that over. We have arrived at the end of the period of Lent on the church calendar. Here at our church, we've been focusing on covenants that God made with His people. We have thought about things that come between God and His people. And during the time of Lent, we're often invited to reflect on our lives and to think of where we need to make things better between ourselves and God. We understand that we frequently need to repent, to change the orientation of our lives, and to focus on living faithfully with God. So with that in mind, I'm going to invite us to do a few things that I think in our Anabaptist theological tradition has often been the case with communion. We'll begin by having some silence for a time of you to reflect, to pray prayers of confession between yourself and God. Let's take a few moments of silence. Amen. Now, having prayed silent prayers of confession, I'm going to invite you to engage in another act that embodies one of our historical Anabaptist understandings of communion. In our theological tradition, communion has often included the emphasis that we make relationships right with each other. I can recall times where actually time was given in the worship service for people to go talk with somebody where relationships were not good. It didn't usually happen, but the opportunity was there. Now, But to enact that commitment, I invite you. I think this would embody this spirit and this idea. So I invite you to stand and turn to those around you and pass the peace to each other. Not a time for conversation, just simply a recognition that we want to communicate that we are in right relationship with each other. Simply offer the words, "The peace of Christ be with you," and respond, "and also with you," to each other. We'll take a few moments for you to stand, turn, and offer the peace of Christ. And now hear the words of Jesus. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Let's pray. We pray, redeeming God, you so loved the world that in the fullness of time you sent the Beloved to be our Savior. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, a human being like us in all things but sin. To the poor he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners freedom, and to those in sorrow joy. In fulfillment of your will, he gave himself up to death. By rising from the dead, he destroyed death and restored life. That we might live no longer for ourselves, but for Christ, he sent the Holy Spirit from you, loving God, as his first gift to those who believe, to complete his work on earth and bring us the fullness of grace. May the Holy Spirit sanctify us, so that in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, we might share in the body and blood of Christ, the great mystery which Jesus left us as an everlasting covenant. Amen. We focus our thoughts on the Last Supper, when Jesus shared bread and wine with his disciples in anticipation of his coming death. That death made possible the forgiveness of our sins and an ongoing relationship with God. On this day, we eat bread and drink wine or juice as a sign of the death of Jesus Christ and as a reminder of all that God has done. When it is your decision and orientation in life to follow Jesus, you're invited to participate in this time of communion. We remember the body of Jesus. The bread symbolizes the body of Jesus, a body given in death for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so we take this bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus and eat it, remembering the body of Jesus given for us. Now, when the bread is served to you, you may take a piece of bread, hold on to it until we've all received, and then we'll say a prayer of thanks together and eat. There is a gluten-free option in the center of the trays. We will serve. Well, then please take your hymnals. We're going to sing together while the bread is served. Turn to number 240.
Yes, and we'll be singing all three verses.
And we ask if all were served. Did we miss anyone? No. Let us pray together. Our gracious and loving God, as we eat this piece of bread, we remember the love of Jesus Christ, His body given up for us, and we give thanks. Amen. We remember also the blood of Jesus. The wine or the juice symbolizes the blood of Jesus, blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so we take the cup as a symbol of Jesus' blood and drink it, remembering the blood of Jesus given for us. So when the cup is served to you, you may choose a cup of wine from the outer rings on the tray or a cup of juice from the center, and hold on to it again until all have received, and we come back and we say a prayer of thanks together. And so we're going to serve as we here listen to the piano play. All been served? Let's pray together again. Once again, O God of love, we remember Jesus. We remember Him living His life and then dying a death because He loved us and You love us. And as we drink this cup, we remember the blood of Jesus given for us in gratitude. Amen. A concluding prayer for our communion time. Finish that with the Lord's Prayer that we'll all pray together. We pray, Almighty and loving God, we thank You that through Your great love, You have fed us from our Lord's table and have assured us that Your goodness to us never fails. We give You thanks that we are members of the body of Christ, heirs with Christ and brothers and sisters in Your family. By Your grace, Assist us in our pilgrimage, that we may go forth strong and faithful in our witness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we continue with the story.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered.
Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers, together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons.
Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, Whom are you looking for?
They answered, Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus replied, I am he.
Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they stepped back and fell to the ground.
Again he asked them, Whom are you looking for?
And they said, Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go.
This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken. I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me.
Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus.
Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?
So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him.
Let's take our hymnals and sing number 241, 'Tis Midnight and on Olive's Brow.
First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year.
Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate.
So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in.
The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?"
He said, "I am not."
Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves.
Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching.
Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him, bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?"
He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?"
Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed.
Let's turn in our hymnals again to number 243, "Before the Cock Crew Twice," and we will sing verses 1 to 4.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover.
So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?"
They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would have not handed him over to you."
Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law."
The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death."
This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die.
Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?"
Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?"
Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?"
Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here."
Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?"
Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone to you at Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas."
Now Barabbas was a bandit.
Let's turn in our hymnals to number 252, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. And we'll sing verses 1 to 4, and let us stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe.
They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face.
Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him."
So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
Pilate said to them, "Here is the man."
When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him."
The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God."
Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?"
But Jesus gave him no answer.
Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and power to crucify you?"
Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor."
Well, I always think that when I sing somebody else's song, I should let you know who wrote it. So you have the words of the song in your program, and it's written by Daryl Daugherty and Steve Hindelong. Okay, now you're looking at your programs. Beautiful Scandalous Night.
Going up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified.
Follow Christ to the holy mountain, sinner sorry and wrecked by the fall. Cleanse your heart and your soul in the fountain that flows.
At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, on the hillside you will be delivered. At the foot justified, and your spirit restored by the river that pours from our blessed Savior's side. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious truth, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, at the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, that beautiful, scandalous night.
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon.
He said to the Jews, "Here is your king."
They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!"
Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?"
The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor."
Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them.
Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek.
Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'"
Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier.
They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots to see who will get it."
This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did.
Let's take our hymnals and sing verses 1 and 2 of number 257, "Were You There?"
Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene.
When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
After this, when Jesus knew that all was finished, he said,
in order to fulfill the scripture,
"I am thirsty."
A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth.
When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished."
Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity.
So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first of the other two who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out.
He who saw this has testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth.
These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, they will look onto the one whom they have pierced.
After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus.
Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body.
Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds.
They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in the spices and linen cloths, according to the burial customs of the Jews.
Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
So we have heard the story of the death of Jesus. We have remembered together in communion. We come back on Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection. Let's pray together. God of love, we were not there when Jesus was nailed to the cross and buried in the tomb. But we know that the result of that event is a blessing to us. And so we pray the ancient prayer as we depart from this house of worship today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. And so you may go.